Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward, to open our hearts and minds to be receptive, Father, unto the revelation of this Your Word that it gives to each of us, to help us, Father, to build our faith stronger and our trust in Him and in You, Father, and especially also in Thy Word. Now, Father, we ask this because there is so much being mistaught today of Your Word that's being taught contrary to this holy book that we call the Bible. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study, and I ask all of this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. This morning, we're going to be in the 6th chapter of John. We're going to be trying to finish out with the 4 Gospels. Now, we may not get it done through this weekend, but we'll be getting close, because there's still quite a bit in John. And we'll be picking up on some things that is in John that was not in some of the others, but also the things that was in the other books will also be in John. So that's like Jesus talking to Nicodemus and telling you and I about being born again. You see, that wasn't in the other books, only in John. Now, I'm hoping that you're there. We're going to go here to chapter 6, verse 1. It says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Now, you know, John is the only gospel writer to call this sea Tiberias, following the destruction of Jerusalem. The Sea of Galilee was renamed Tiberias after Tiberius Caesar, who ruled actually from A.D. 14 to 37. So he ruled there quite a while. Now, two, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. Three, and Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Four, the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. Five, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he said unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Six. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. You see, he knows all things. He knows exactly. He knows what they've got. And he knows what he's going to do. Now, Philip answered him, 200 pennies worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, "There is a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many?" 10. And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And we're talking about just the men. 11. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. 12. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." 13. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. 14. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that would come into the world." And you know, the feeding now of this 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes is the only miracle included in all 4 of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And but John is the only Gospel to mention Philip, Andrew, and the lad. Now, the others mentioned about the fish, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but they didn't really name all that was involved there, as John did here. Now, we also know that this is the 3rd Passover during Jesus' ministry. And you know, they were speaking there about 200 penny worth. 200 denarii was 200 days' wages. You see, the denarius, which is a penny, was the average day's wage for a working man. Think about that. That was those days' wages for a working man in that day and time. Now, go to 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Sixteen. And when evening was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea. 17. And entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. 18. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. 19. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. 20. But he saith unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Now, 21. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went or where they were going. You see, things can happen very quickly when Jesus gets involved. And, you know, I know how things can work. I have been one very fortunate man in this day and time. I was living about 14 miles away from my mother and dad at the time there in Florida. They were living in one little town, I was living in another one. And I knew that my mother had been sick, and I was kind of worried and wondering about them. You know, this was in my early years of ministry, when my family still wasn't quite used to me. You know, and I was sitting there at the house and praying about her, praying for her, and praying about her. When the Lord walked in, got me by the hand, and the next thing I knew, I was sitting in my mother and dad's living room. He was didn't seem to be any trip or anything. Just next thing I know, I'm sitting there in their living room, and I can see them getting around, and I see that they're all right and everything. Everything's going all right. In fact, Mom at the time was preparing a meal, and then all at once, I'm back home. Just that quick and that fast. When God is on your side, there is nothing that cannot be accomplished. But you have to be his for him to be there on your side. He loves all of mankind. But when we choose to walk in darkness and of this evil world, we separate ourselves from him. We do it. He does it. We have done it. That's just like when our life here is done and we wake up in hell, we can't blame him. There is only one to blame, and that is ourselves, because we would not accept him and what he has for us. It's all been laid out. It's been kept down through the years for us. We have no excuse whatsoever. Only we choose to walk our own misguided way or follow someone else that is misguided and teaching things that are contrary to God's word, instead of following along with our Bibles to make sure that what they are giving us is in accordance with God's word. Or if they are taking it, twisting it and turning it to make it say what they want it to say, or to use it to back up their own belief. And that's being done quite a bit. Now, you see, they fed them. Then Jesus got afraid they was going to take him by force to make him king. Here in 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again unto a mountain himself alone. Now, 16, and when evening was now come, his disciples went down to the sea. Now you see, this is where they've made that trip now across the sea. He's joined them by walking on the water and all of that. And all at once, that ship where they were headed. Now here in 22, the day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereunto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Now, you got these people wondering things. 23. How be it there come, or came, other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. 24. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. You see, the Jews attempted to make Jesus a king because hunger was common. And a Messiah who could multiply food was the one most people were ready to follow. and Jesus departed to a mountain. The other Gospels add to pray. You know, the disciples took a boat from Tiberias to Capernaum during the night, and Jesus came to them walking on the sea. And only Matthew tells of Peter walking on the water on that occasion. It's only in the book of Matthew. Now, and here in John, as we just read. Now, but here in John, see, Peter didn't get out of the boat to go meeting either. Everything will witness to make sure that you understand that the word is true. But they each write a little differently as the Spirit works through them. Now, 25. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? They're asking now when he got there. And Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. They're not even seeking him because of the miracles. They're following him because they was hungry and now they're full. And he's letting them know. 27. Labor not for the meat which perish, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Meat which endureth. You see, he uses that, and he also uses the water that satisfies. We know he used that with the woman at the well. He told her if she would ask for water, he could have gave her water. That's where she would thirst no more. It would satisfy. Now, Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Well, first thing you've got to do is to really and truly believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, go to him for forgiveness of your sins, and be baptized in his name, putting him on and bringing him into your life, and then seeking for the infilling, indwelling of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Now, this that he is talking about there he tells them in 29, Jesus answered and said to them, This is the work of God that you believe on him whom he has sent, which we know is Jesus. 30, and they said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee, what dost thou work? 31. Our father did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. And we all know about that because we studied about that in the book of Exodus. When we were there, and they were on their journey out of Egypt. And they had nothing to eat. And each morning they could go out and receive what God had gave them. Just pick it up off, gather it up off of the earth. Now, 32. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And he's standing right there before them. But you see, they still don't believe. They still don't understand. Now, Verse 34. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. You see, he's letting them know that he can take care of them. But they've got to go to him believing in him. 36. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. They have not believed. 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. You see, if you will go to him honestly and truly, he's not going to cast you out or cast you away or turn you away. But you've got to go to him honestly and in sincerity, really wanting. And he knows. So you can't fool him. He knows. 38. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And that is what you and I are to be doing today, is doing the will of that one that called us to become that child of the living God. And you see, the Father is the one that calls us. That Holy Spirit that's in us, that is of the Father, that has the power with him. Now, he's the one that will draw us to the Lord Jesus. And without that drawing, man just don't go. Now, 39. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. He's not going to lose anything that is really given to him. 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. He's going to raise him up. So you see, there is a time that you're going to meet him. Now, that time can come quicker than you think. 41. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Now they're hollering about that. Because you see, there again, no understanding. Forty-two. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Now, 43. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. Oh, don't be planning everything among yourselves, sitting there murmuring about it and wondering about it. 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. You see, I had just told you about that. Now, 45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that has heard and has learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God, he has seen the Father. In other words, he himself. 47. Verily, verily. In other words, pay attention. I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. But you see, that word believe on him has a great meaning. Now, 48. I am that bread of life. 49. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. 50. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Uh-oh. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. You see, when you really become that born-again child of the living God, you will never die. His word. I just read it to you. That's his word. And he don't lie. Now, 52. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So we know don't. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, again, pay attention. I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, verily, verily, I said you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. 55. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. 56. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. You've heard me many, many, many times that you have him living inside you if you are his. He's telling you right here in verse 56 of chapter 6. Now, 57. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. 58. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. You will never, never die. Think about that. 59. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? 61. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? 62. What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. 64. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. He knew from the start. He's always known. 65. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. once again, this is twice, we're being told that the Father has to draw us, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he does that through the Holy Spirit of Almighty God as it talks to us. And he, you see, that's why we pray for the lost. And we pray for the Holy Spirit to speak to them. He's not in them. But it is God drawing them unto the Lord Jesus Christ. 66. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now we're not talking about those 12. We're talking about other disciples that followed him. But now, because of this teaching that he's doing, they're not accepting and they're not walking with him anymore. 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Now he's talking to those 12 that he handpicked. 68. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. 69. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. So Peter said, where can we go? There's no place else for us to go. You're it. Now, 70. Jesus answered them, not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil. Uh-oh. 71. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. All right, we have come now to the end of chapter 6. So we're going to stop there for this morning. God willing, we'll pick up with 7 this evening at 6 p.m. and continue on. But you see, John is confirming what we studied coming through Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But there is some differences in the way he is putting it and the way he is saying it. And, you know, I believe that is God's way of letting us see and make it easier for some to really and truly understand his word. Because once we begin to see that everything is confirmed, then we have to know that it is true. Now, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close the word, we thank you for the word, and we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we pray for Jerusalem and Israel. We pray for them to have peace, but Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And this land of ours, Father, filled with evil, we're praying for it, Father. We're praying for those that are in our government, that is evil that's bringing all of this upon our people, Father, to be replaced with those that belong to you. Those that love you, Father, and love the Lord Jesus Christ, and loves the church, loves your word and your people, and loves this country, Father, and will work with us and help us to bring this land to repentance and put our government back upon the foundation they have taken it off of. And that foundation being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, help us. Help us, Father, as we have this Bible study going, let it reach out far and wide and help a lot of others that are walking in darkness to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And help us, Father, to grow stronger each and every day so that we can be workers, laborers, Father, in the field of harvest and help to reap that harvest and bring it in to you, Father. Now, Father, for those that share with me in this ministry, Brother Kenny Powers, Brother Dennis Lee, Amy, her husband Tom, her son Jacob, Bobby and Millie Johnson, James Taylor, myself, Sue, and David Branson, Father, my wife, and all of our family. Because, Father, we all have family members that are walking in darkness. And, Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit can work with them. Bring them from darkness to light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. So that none be lost, Father, and all can make heaven their home. Use us, Father, this day. As we separate, let each one of us find at least one more today to talk to about the Lord and invite into our Bible study, letting them know how to get into it and to join with us, Father, so that we can continue reaching out further and further and further each and every day with this gospel. Now, Father, we ask you to care for each one of us. Bring us back together this evening at 6 p.m. And we ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everyone. Have a great, great day. And may you be able to bring someone else to us. And praise the Lord. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him all day. And give him thanks. Bye-bye now.